season, we've been talking about AI. And in each episode, we've been confronted in one way or another with an existential crisis. What I mean is that we've been forced to question meaning and purpose. How will this technology define what we do, and by extension, how we see and understand ourselves? As a podcast host of Deep Faith, all kinds of warning bells and red flags started coming to mind. So in this, our last episode of the season, I thought we might explore how AI has creeped into how I find purpose and meaning. To get us started, I asked ChatGPT a few questions. Who created you?
I was created by a team of developers and engineers.
Who created me?
You were created by your parents.
What is the meaning of life?
The meaning of life is a deeply personal and subjective concept that varies from individual to individual. It is often found through personal relationships, pursuing passions, and making a positive impact on the world.
ChatGPT. Let's pray. In the spirit of the radical disruptor of the Middle Ages, St. Francis of Assisi.
Dear Creator, bless us with eyes to see the beauty in all creation and hearts to cherish and care for it with love and reverence.
Well, ChatGPT, I think the Creator I had in mind was not the one you were thinking of. For me, God is the Creator and I am one of the creatures. And you? Just a derivative of humans. You, cherishing and caring? Not a chance. Love and reverence? Absolutely not. The relationship between religion and technology is complicated. Over the centuries, many religious traditions have adapted to new technology. For instance, cars and planes have changed the faithful's pilgrimage practices. And when the printing press and the internet came along, they transformed the ways religious perspectives were shared. The printing press and the internet didn't obliterate religion or the religious message. They just changed the way it was designed and distributed. Okay, one more example, the radio. There was a time when people thought the radio was going to spell the end of religion. No one was going to go to church anymore.
Friends, the mere fact that we ask the question, why does God permit this war?
Almost 100 years ago, Father Fulton Sheen began his radio show on NBC. Then in the 1950s, he began broadcasting one of the most popular shows on television. It was a show called Life Has Meaning. This was the beginning of televangelism. Then came whole religious television and radio networks, then podcasts, live streams, and apps. Technology, artificial intelligence included, plays a role in our everyday religious lives. It changes the way we pray, the way we worship, and the way we interact with our fellow faithful. I'm the first to admit that I use a geolocator sometimes to find mass times and locations. An app for prayer and meditation, another app to follow the daily scripture readings, and I've even tried an app to help go through an examination of conscience. That one was marketed to help with making a confession. Maybe technology and religion mix in my world.
I'm going to do something new tonight.
That's Josh Franklin, back in January 2023. He's a rabbi at the Jewish Center of the Hamptons in New York.
Maybe something that you're going to say at first is unethical, but I'm going to do it anyways.
He gave his congregation the heads up that what he was about to read had been plagiarized.
Friends, as we gather today to study the Torah portion this week, Vayigash, let us consider the importance of developing intimacy in our relationship with others. In this portion, we see the story of Joseph, who has been separated from his brothers for many years and who has risen to a position of great power in Egypt. Despite the hardships.
But most people thought the sermon had been written by a famous rabbi.
Beautiful words. Who wrote them? The answer is going to be surprising.
Not ChatGPT.
Artificial intelligence. I gave it a prompt. I said, write a sermon in the voice of a rabbi of about 1,000 words, connecting the Torah portion this week, Vaigash, with the idea of intimacy and vulnerability, and quote Brené Brown. And that's what it came up with. Now, you're clapping. I'm deathly afraid.
ChatGPT can sound smart, but Rabbi Franklin says AI can't be empathetic, at least not right now.
Artificial intelligence can do a simply better job than human beings at regurgitating information. Human beings are not going to be the best purveyors of content. Artificial intelligence will beat us at that every single time, especially as it advances. But artificial intelligence cannot experience that human-to-human connection, that deep emotional relationship, the empathy, the love, the community, all of those things that are paramount to human consciousness.
Rabbi Franklin says AI isn't going to replace rabbis and other faith leaders anytime soon.
Spirituality is a different realm altogether than any kind of algorithmic model that can be generated. Spirituality really requires human experience, human emotion, and human consciousness. My hope is really that technology doesn't become a replacement for human experience, but it actually becomes the tool that helps us live better and helps us live more fuller spiritual lives.
In addition to ChatGPT, more specialized religious chatbots have emerged. There is a chatbot called Ask Delphi, named after the Oracle of Delphi of ancient Greece, and Gita GPT, inspired by the Bhagavad Gita, one of the most important religious texts of Hinduism. But these chatbots can have problems with accuracy. That's because its responses are based on patterns it's seen in the text it's trained on. That could be a big problem for religions like Judaism and Islam that have a strong dedication to sacred texts.
There's issues within AI, but they really depend upon like the cultural context for that and understanding at a deeper level kind of what the issues are for the different groups of people.
That's Mark Graves, a research fellow and director with the organization AI and Faith. He's talking about the issues around AI hallucinations. That's when a chatbot, for instance, generates incorrect information, but presents it as if it were correct. It can sometimes be hard to tell what's real and what's not, because the information seems plausible, and the sentence structure and grammar all check out. Like when I asked Jasper AI, a writer's AI tool, some questions about myself to see what it would come up with. And it said, I was an advisor to Cleopatra. Not quite.
There's a risk sometimes when people are trying to do things, especially if they've got religious motivation, that sometimes they forget about the ethical context. They forget about, you know, other groups. I mean, it's great to be exploring with this, but really think about the consequences, because the consequences of putting out hallucinations of scriptural texts that people may actually count upon in times of need can actually be much more serious than making a poor recommendation in a social media site.
Dr. Damian Patrick Williams says chatbots are just one way people are using AI to enhance the way they engage with their faith.
There are also people who are trying to use AI to compare texts, to try to find intersections or overlaps and areas and use AI to generate religious text that comes from those spaces.
Williams is an assistant professor of philosophy and data science at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte.
And then you have people who are building apps for faith communities so that groups of worshipers can do group prayer calls even, or even find other members of similar faith communities in their area and, you know, collaborate on projects.
Graves says AI technology should be built from a pluralistic perspective, where it works for all of humanity, not just one religious tradition. That means capturing the basic fundamentals of ethics and morality that overlap in the world's major religions.
Whenever you have groups of people historically spread over the world that have interacted with each other over time, certain principles have come about, like don't kill, be honest, don't steal, being gracious is good, respecting other people. So that kind of morality is we're taught in kindergarten.
Let's remember that while AI may challenge our beliefs, it also holds immense potential for fostering understanding, compassion, and unity among diverse faiths. Rather than fearing AI, let's approach it as a tool for deepening our spiritual connections and as a help in our quest to find answers to profound existential questions. As we navigate this new frontier, let's always be guided by the quintessential show question. In the work that we do and the investments that we make, what does it profit? Thanks for hanging out with us this season. AI was a whole new world. We'll be back in the spring with season 5, digging deep into the stories of workplace safety. While we're off recording, we would love to connect with you on LinkedIn. You can find us there. And in the holiday spirit, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. For us, it's better than a gift card. What Does It Profit is a production of the Solidarity Economy Workshop at Georgetown University. The show is hosted by me, Dr. Dawn Carpenter. Jordan Gasparet is our senior producer. Our engineer and designer is Mark Bush. Special thanks to our assistant producers, Luke McFadden and Sunana Sunda. And of course, our intern, Abby Trepas. Music for What Does It Profit was composed by Nick Pennington. Support for What Does It Profit is provided by the Kalmanovitz Initiative for Labor and the Working Poor and the Capital Applied Learning Lab at Georgetown University. Additional support provided by the Joan and Ralph Lane Center for Catholic Social Thought and Ignatian Tradition at the University of San Francisco. You can learn more at whatdoesitprofitpodcast.com.